This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share some thoughts relevant to the Zman Haba Aleinu LaTayva, specifically to a group of young men who have dedicated themselves to Limud HaTorah during this time of the year. Even though I'm not an alumni of Landers, I do feel a very strong connection. So I learned in Chafetz Chaim, I learned down the block. But when I was learning for Smicha, I needed a quiet place to learn, so I used to learn Shulchan Aruch in the Landers Beis Medrash. And then I moved, actually you know the Majestic, it's a building on the corner of 150th and Union Turnpike. So Shabbos afternoon, what do you do with the kids? So I used to stroll into Landers and let them run around the field. And then sometimes if the guard would let me into the building, we would take them upstairs and go up to the roof. So I spent a lot of time in the building. And then when Rabbi Sachs came, I used to come to his shiurim many Thursdays. And whenever I need to look something up, like in a Masifta Gemara or some sefer they didn't have in yeshiva, I would go. And it actually became a little annoying because I needed to get into the building. You know, in Chafetz Chaim, you could just sort of go in. That was back in the day. That was before terrorism. The Landers was always high-tech security. And I actually have my Landers card. Because I was thinking, you know, I just came back from a trip from the Ukraine, Poland, and Hungary. And I thought I might need a clergy card. So I don't have a clergy card. I said, you know what, I think I still have my Landers card. So when, and when I came in now, I said, do I still have it? I actually still have my Landers. I don't even know if you guys have a Landers card. So that's my connection. I thank my good friend Rabbi Bamberger. Is that someone? How you doing? Welcome back. For the opportunity to share with you some thoughts. The Gemara in Soita on Daf Mem Tes tells us a very bleak prognosis about the period of time, period in history, prior to the coming of Mashiach. This is known as Ikvasa de Mashiacha, the heels of Mashiach. And the Gemara gives us a very bleak prognosis. The Gemara tells us, Chutzpah Yaske, Chutzpah will proliferate, V'yoyker Yamir, and prices will inflate, Hagefen Titein Piria, there will be a lot of fruits, but it will be expensive, and the houses of the Chachamim will turn into houses of ill repute, and it's a whole long laundry list of terrible disasters that will occur in the end of days. And people won't have any respect, and people will be ordering around their parents. And it's one tragedy after the other. Pnei hadar k'pnei hakelev. The leaders will be like dogs. And then the Mishnah ends off as follows. V'yama yesh lanu lehishayin. What are we going to rely on? What could we be soymech on? Who could we rely on? Says the Mishnah. Ein lanu almi lehishayin ela alavinu shebashamayim. We have no one to rely on other than the Almighty. So that's how the Mishnah ends. It gives us a list of a dozen or so tragedies that will occur in the end of days, but the Mishnah says, don't worry, we have nothing to rely on other than the Almighty. And Rav Gifter was bothered by the following question, because the conclusion of this Mishnah seems to be anticlimactic and a little incongruous. Here the Mishnah is telling us all these terrible things that will happen in the end of days, and the Mishnah ends off on a good note, don't worry, even though we have nothing to rely on, we could rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's anticlimactic. It should end off with the biggest disaster of all. Why is it ending on a good note? So you say, what do you mean? We always end on a good note. This is not even the end of the Masechta. The Gemara then quotes a Braisa, which is a good note. Pinchas ben Yar Oimer, Torah mevi olidei zahiros, lidei zrizos, lidei nikios. So you can't say that this is written here to end off on a good note, because anyway it's going to end off on a good note. So what is this positive conclusion doing here? Next question. There's this little-known minhag. Actually, it's very well-known and very much capitalized on, that even though minhag Yisrael, we don't eat meat in the 9 days. By the way, even though we call it a minhag, the Archa Shulchan in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph Sivkatan Chav Gimel writes, not eating meat in the 9 days is da'iraisa. Da'iraisa? The whole 9 days is not da'iraisa. How can not eating meat? He says, because since for hundreds of years, Jews don't eat meat in the 9 days, The Jewish people have accepted it upon themselves as a neder, and therefore it has biblical status. Eating meat in the 9 days is an iser d'oraisa, Aruch HaShulchan says. And yet, we've come up with this amazing loophole that if you finish Masech Tehoriyos, or maybe even Masech Tamid, or some other little Tainus or Megillah, you could arrange for a barbecue 3 meals a day for the course of 9 days. We have this minog, which is not brought in Shulchan Aruch, to make a siyam, and somehow when you make a siyam, it's a sudas mitzvah, and this way we could eat meat. Is this really a genuine minhag? What kind of minhag is this? It seems to be circumventing the halacha. You know, Chazal say that you're only chayef in Meiser if you bring it in through the front door, but if you bring it in through the window, then you're pater from Meiser, and Chazal criticize those who bring it in through the window because they're trying to circumvent the halacha. So what would Chazal say about somebody who finished Megillah 17 and a half years ago and left over 2 words to finish up during the 9 days? It seems to be somewhat of a excessive leniency. Is there a really basis for this supposed minhag yisrael? In fact, I once heard, when I lived in Eir HaKodesh, Kew Garden Hills, I used to go to Rav Noach Isaac Goldbaum, and he once said over a story that there's a hotel in the Catskills, I'm not sure if it's still around, it's called Zucker's Hotel, and the Gedolim used to frequent that hotel. Rav Moshe used to go there, Rav Schneer Cutler used to go there, and Rav Moshe would make a siyum every day of the 9 days. Rav Moshe, right? He's an Orthodox rabbi, Rabbi Moses Feinstein. He made a siyum every single day of the 9 days. And Rav Schneer Cutler, also another Orthodox rabbi, was sitting there in the back, and he did not want to partake of the siyum because, you know, you see him in the 9 every day. So he was sort of minding his own business and not making it known that he wasn't partaking of the siyum. And Rav Moshe went over to him. He says, "You're mechuyev to eat at the siyum." "Why?" He says, "If you don't eat at the siyum, then the guy who's going to eat his hot dog, he's going to feel a little guilty about it. He's going to figure it's not really legitimate. And he's going to eat it, but not with so much appetite. And you're being moinea hanoa mi Yisrael. So you need to partake of the siyum." Was it really so important for them to have a barbecue every single day? What is this? I know in the camps, I think they also, they make siyumim pretty often. I believe the Mishnah Berurah says not to make a siyum the last 3 days of the 9 days. That already is the peak of the Avelos. But nevertheless, what is this concept of making a siyum during the 9 days? So we have a major question, another question here. What was the siba of the Bayis Rishon, of the Churban Bayis Rishon? What was the cause of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara in Yuma says, Daf Tesam and Beis, it was the big three. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, the three cardinal sins. That's what the Gemara says. And yet, if you look in the Navi Yirmiyah, the Navi Yirmiyah says, Mihoyish Achacham Yavein Ezois. You know that? Sound familiar? We're going to read it on Tisha B'Av. V'asher diber pi Hashem elav yagida. There's a big question. Nobody knew. Not the Chachamim, not the Nevi'im, not the Malachi Hashareis. Nobody understood what the reason for the Churban would be. Alma of the Haaretz. And the Navi says, V'ayoymer Hashem alaz v'amez toirasi. They forsook the Torah. Literally, they weren't learning. Okay, we know the Gemara in the Nedarim has an understanding of this Gemara, but the simple words of the Navi are, they were not learning Torah properly. So it's a major contradiction. The Gemara says they're walking around the streets murdering people, bowing down to idols, committing adultery, and the Gemara says, no, they weren't learning Gemara every day. So which one was it? Were they violating the big three, or were they not learning? And I'm sure you know the famous Yushalmi in Chagiga, Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Avodah Zarah, the Al Gilui Arayos, V'Shvichas Damim, Ribono Shel Olam was willing to be Mevater on the big three, but he was not willing to be Mevater the sin of Bittul Torah. So the Yushalmi seems to support what the Navi says, that it was Bittul Torah. So where does the big three come in? So there's an Alshech. Rav Moshe Alshech. Rav Moshe Alshech was one of the great all-time Darshanim. He lived from 1508 to 1593. He was the Talmud Muvuk of Maran Bet Yosef. In fact, at the end of the Beis Yosef's life, when the Beis Yosef was too weak to sign his name, the Alshech signed his name. The Alshech once gave a drasha, And he explained that when Bilam tried to trick Yaakov Avinu, Aseras Moinim, he explained all 100 ways Lavan tried to trick Yaakov Avinu. And there was the Arizal was there, and he said, you know, Lavan himself came to that drasha, and he was laughing that the Alshech figured out all the 100 ways that Lavan tried to trick Yaakov Avinu. So the Alshech was one of the all-time great darshanim, and he gives the following mashal. It's a little bit of a disturbing mashal, and you'll tell me what you think. The Alshech says there was once a king, and the king had a musician, and the musician played such beautiful, enchanting melodies. The musician just played such beautiful music that the king was so enraptured by the music, despite the fact that they came and they told the king, you know, this musician, you know what he did yesterday? He assaulted someone. He robbed a bank. The king would not pay attention. The king ignored all evil reports about this musician. And then it came to the attention of the king that the musician killed someone. And the king would not listen to anything about this musician. He was so enchanted and enraptured with the music, he didn't want to hear. And then one day, they came to the king and they said, King, you know, this musician of yours, he got into a little altercation with his next door neighbor over where to put the garbage can, and they got into a little fight and they struggled, and the musician broke his arm. The king said, kill him. So they wonder, you know, he's killing people, he's murdering people, he's assaulting people, and the king does nothing, and he got into a little fight and he broke his arm, and now you want to kill him? And the king said, yeah. Because so long as he was able to play that beautiful music, so long as I was enchanted by his melodies, I could not pay attention to any of his wrongdoing. But the moment his hand is rendered invalid and he can't play the music, then the guy is scum of the earth anyway. I don't really like him, so I'm going to knock him off. Says the Alshech, it's the same thing with Klal Yisrael. Chazal tell us that for 7 generations, Klal Yisrael were murdering, they were worshipping idols, they were committing adultery, and Hashem ignored it. And in the 8th generation, Hashem said, enough is enough, and he said he's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Allah Zvam es Toirasi, because they stopped learning. Because for 7 generations, despite all the terrible sins the Jews were committing, and the murder, and the adultery, and everything, Hashem was so enraptured and enchanted by the sweet melody of the Limud HaTorah that Hashem turned a blind eye to what Klal Yisrael was doing, and he ignored all the terrible averos so long as Klal Yisrael was learning. But in generation 8, as soon as they stopped learning, Hashem nailed them for the big 3. So which sin was it? Was it not learning, or was it violating the big 3? It was violating the big 3, but they were protected from it so long as they were learning. Once they stopped learning, they were nailed for the big 3. That's the Alshech. You like that Hashkafa? That sits well with you? Do you like that idea that you could be a murderer, an adulterer, an idolater, and as long as you're a lamdin and a talmud chacham, you have immunity to any repercussion? The Maharit does not like this hashkafa. Shaul Sechuvus Maharit, Rabbi Yosef Mitrani. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says he was the greatest of all the achroinim. Rabbi Yonasan Aibishit says he was gadol ha-achroinim, the son of the Mabit. The Maharit says, without quoting the name of the Alshech, he basically quotes the Mashal word for word, and he has 2 choice words for this Mashal, Chilul Hashem. He says it's a desecration of God's name to offer this idea, that for 7 generations the Jewish people were idolaters, adulterers, murderers, and they were given immunity because they were involved in afternoon summer kailah. No, it doesn't work like that. Says the Maharit, Loi ha-medrash hu ha-ikr, ela ha-maisa. You know the story with Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion asked Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, am I going to have Olam Haba? And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, I don't know, you do mitzvahs? And he said, yeah, one time I did a mitzvah. He said, okay, you'll have Olam Haba. What do you mean? Rav Chanina ben Tradion was the biggest Maribitz Torah in the generation. He gave shir. He was moiser nefesh to give shir. Says the Ma'arit, if somebody learns and he's not involved in doing mitzvahs, he gets no olam haba. Ha-maisa hua ikar. Lo ha-medrash hua ikar ela ha-maisa. Kol mi sha'amar. Ein li ela Torah afilu Torah ein lai. If your whole game is Torah, and you don't have good character, and you don't have a proper personality, and you don't have midos toivos, it's not worth anything. Even though the Zohar seems to say that someone who's involved in learning doesn't have to answer anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Ma'arit, you have to know what that means. The bottom line is, Ein loy l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela oitzer shel yirah shamayim. The ikar is fear of God, midos toivos. The purpose of learning is to become an elevated, better person. Otherwise, the Gemara says in Tainis, you know, Torah is like rain. We tend to think, you know, learning, it's always good. Learning is always good for everyone. Learning is great. No, the Gemara says, learning is like rain. Ya'arev kamata l'kri tizal katalim rasi. Torah could be, is rain always good? I don't think the people who were in the, you know, the tsunami were big fans of the rain. Rain is good, depends what's planted, the Gemara writes. The Gemara says in Mishlei, that if wheat is planted, rain is good. Rain is very good. If poison ivy is planted, if poison is planted, then rain is very bad. It depends what's planted in the field. The same thing with a person, says the Gra. If a person has good midos and good character, and Yer Shamayim, Torah will bring out all of these wonderful things that lay dormant inside of the soul. But if the person is harboring arrogance and jealousy and bad midos, the Torah will bring these out in even greater capacity. The Torah is just like rain, but it depends what's planted in the soul. Says the Ma'arit, Chas v'shalom, to say that the Jewish people committed terrible averus and they got immunity because they were learning. Torah is not an immunity for anything. And the Ma'arit therefore says, he doesn't quote the Al-Sheikh by name, but he basically says, that Dvar Torah is what we call a Chilul Hashem. But what are we going to do with the Al-Sheikh? The Al-Sheikh, HaKadosh, not, you know, they don't call me and you HaKadosh. One of the few people who are called HaKadosh. What did the Al-Sheikh mean? Did the Al-Sheikh really mean that a Jew who committed terrible sins, he was protected because he was involved in learning? So Rav Shach gave the following approach to explain the Al-Sheikh and defend the Al-Sheikh from the questions of the Ma'arit. And Rav Shach said as follows. He says, Rav Shach, Klal Yisrael is one entity. We're Chativa Achas. Heaven forbid, if one Jew is involved in terrible averos, but they're learning at the same time, that learning is not worth the price that of the paper it's printed on. It will not offer any immunity. But Klal Yisrael is one entity. And if there are members of the Jewish people who are involved in terrible averos, but there are other members of the Jewish people who are God-fearing and have midos toivos, and they are playing the sweet music of pure, unadulterated Limud HaTorah, so heaven forbid, if the person involved in averos is playing the music of Torah, that is not sweet music in the ears of Hashem. But if in this entity called Klal Yisrael, there are Yidden who are pure, Kadosh V'tar, and they're learning Torah, their music is so sweet in the eyes of Hashem that Hashem says, I will not punish anyone in Klal Yisrael, because since they are one entity, the beautiful, enchanting, melodious music of those Jews involved in learning Torah is so sweet, is so beautiful, that I will choose to ignore what is the sin produced from the entity called Klal Yisrael. That's what the Al-Sheikh means. If the individual is involved in terrible averos, they can produce sweet music. However, those members of the Jewish people who are Kadosh V'tahar and are dedicating their summers and their free time for Limud HaTorah, says Rav Shach, that Limud HaTorah protects all of Klal Yisrael. How many buildings don't Chas V'Shalom because of the learning of a few people? How many bleachers don't Chas V'Shalom because of the learning of a few people? Says Rav Shach, what the Al Shech means is that since Klal Yisrael is Chativa Achas, the learning of a select few offers an iron dome to the rest of the Jewish people. At the Chanukah Sabayis of Yeshiva Kol Torah, so they invited Rav Shlomo Zalman to give a drasha. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said as follows: we know when somebody builds a new house, they're supposed to leave opposite the entrance, amma by amma, unplastered. Why? Zeche l'chorben. So you come in and you see the house is not perfect, it's not fully designed, there's something withheld, there's something being held back, there's a zeche l'chorben. However, the Prima Gadim is quick to say that in a base ha-medrash, you don't need to make a zecher l'chorben. Why? What's the pshat in the Prima Gadim? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, because so long as Klal Yisrael were learning Torah, their sweet music protected Klal Yisrael. It's only once Klal Yisrael stopped learning that the base ha-medrash was destroyed. Which means in the realm of Limud HaTorah, in the dimension, in the bechina, in the vicinity of Limud HaTorah, the concept of Churban doesn't exist. There is no Churban. Ein Churban b'makom Torah. B'makom Torah, there is no Churban Beis HaMikdash. Ein loy l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamai miyom shacharav Beis HaMikdash. Ein loy l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamai ela dalet amos shel halacha. Which means that of the Churban, that which still stands of the Beis HaMikdash is the realm of Limud HaTorah. So when you're in a Beis HaMedrash and you're involved in learning, you don't need to make a Zeche L'Churban. There is no Churban. The Beis HaMikdash is still standing in that realm, in that dimension. Says the Rosh Hashiva of Tells, Rav Lazer Gordon, says Rosh Hashiva of Tells, he went collecting in London, and he was nifter in London, fundraising, had a schus to be at his kever in London. Says Rav Lazer tells her, the reason why, if you make a siyum, you're allowed to eat meat, it's not like we thought. Oh, really? You're not allowed to eat meat? And if you make a siyum, you superimpose an extra legal simcha that overrides the churban. That's not the lamdas. The lamdas is, if somebody was so involved in Limud HaTorah that they achieved the ultimate achievement and they're making a siyum, then in that realm and in that dimension, the Beis HaMikdash was never destroyed. So b'makom Torah ein churban. There is no churban. There's nothing to mourn. There's nothing to commemorate. The Beis HaMikdash is standing for that individual. In that makom, in that realm, the Beis HaMikdash is still standing. How many hours in the 3 weeks? Too many. How many hours in the 3 weeks? So how long is the 3 weeks? And the wrong answer is 3 weeks. You know the 3 weeks. There's no such thing as the 3 weeks. There's no, it doesn't say anywhere 3 weeks. It's Bein HaMetzarim. It's 22 days. It's 3 weeks and 1 day. How many hours in the 3 weeks? 528. 22 times 24. Gematria, says the Bnei Yisachar, Mafteach, key. It's the key of Geula. How many prakim in Mishnah, in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah? 528 prakim in Shas. Can I get the 528 hours in the 3 weeks? The only thing is the last 5 hours, we get off the ground already. That's because the Masar Sasha says there are really 523 prakim in Shas. Five of the prakim are Toisefta, Parakin Kedushin, Bikurim, Psachim, Soita, Perkei Avos. So there are 523 prakim in Shas proper, five prakim with added Toisefta, 523 hours in the 3 weeks, plus 5 hours after we get up after Chatzos, because that's when Mashiach is born. The key to Geula is Limud HaTorah. Even though the Gemara says the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, the Ramchal says not really. The Ramchal writes that all of the trouble that we find ourselves in today, it's all because Al Ozvam Es Tairasi, because of Bittul Torah. Says Ramchal, if you look at number 21 in the Derech Eitz Chaim, Vihinei Tirah, you will see Shechurban Beis Kodshenu V'Tifartenu V'Shagalinu Me'artzenu Haya Ba'avoin Bittul Torah. But says the Ramchal, on the next page, Esek HaTorah Hu Roish L'chol HaTikunim. Genuine involvement in learning Torah is our chief rectification. L'chein Hizra L'ekam Pa'amim. The kas oleinu kol kas hazah shel ozvas toirasai. It's interesting. I saw the Chassam Sofer says the same thing. That even though we're used to thinking Second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam, Chassam Sofer says, do you remember the Gemara in Yuma? The Gemara in Yuma says on Daf Samach Tes that the Anshei Knesset Agdola daven to be mevatel avodah zarah. And what emerged from the Beis Hamikdash when they offered that tefillah? A lion. A lion emerged from the Beis Hamikdash. That indicates that the massive passion for Avodah Zarah, it left, it vanished. Chassam Sofer points out, and what animal was leaving the Beis HaMikdash by Bayasheni? A fox. A fox. So the Aruch Lener says that's right, because a fox is not a big, powerful animal. It's a sly, clever animal, because the sin that destroyed the second temple, the sin that destroyed the first temple, was Avodah Zarah, the lion. The sin that destroyed the second one was a sly, clever type of sin. Sinas Chinam, or the Yetzirah, convinces you, this guy, you're allowed to hate him, because his yarmulke size, his coloring, is not the way that you were brought up. It's a sinister type of sin, like a fox. Says Chassam Sofer, no. What does the fox represent? Gemara Bracha says, the Romans made a decree to outlaw Limanat Torah. And Rabbi Akiva was teaching Torah Barabim. So they told Rabbi Akiva, what's going on? You're endangering your life. So Rabbi Akiva gave the following mashal. There was a fish that was navigating in the river trying to outswim the fishermen. And the fox says to the fish, I have a great idea. Why don't you leave the river and come out onto the dry land and we'll stroll together? And what did the fish say? Ma, if in the place of my life is in danger, then if I leave the water, alachas kama v'kama. Says Rabbi Akiva, if while I'm learning, which is kihi chayim chayenu v'aruch yamenu, my life is in danger, imagine if I stop learning. So says Chassam Sofer, the fox represents the avera of Ozvam es Tairasi of Bitul Torah. And the fox that Rabbi Akiva saw prancing around the Harabayis, that is the fox that is representative of what caused the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So to have such a chashav group of young men who have dedicated their summers to Limud HaTorah, B'makom Torah Ein Chorban. In this makom of Limud HaTorah, this is where the Binyan Beis HaMikdash has begun. This is where there is binyan. There's no zecher l'chorben over here. B'makom Torah ein chorben. Says Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, he quotes Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, this is oyoyim v'noyra. In the end of days, there are going to be many disasters. Prices will soar, and there'll be inflation, and there'll be promiscuity, and there'll be chutzpah and every bad character trait. But you know what the biggest klala of all is? You know what the biggest curse is? The biggest curse of all is that in the end of days, people are going to say, what do we do? Meron, Stalin, Surfside, we don't know what to do. Amilan Uli Shain, Alavinu Shabbat Shamayim. People are going to wave their hands and say, you know, we have no one to rely on. We can only rely on God. That's the biggest curse of all. Curse? Isn't that bitachon? That's the biggest curse. It's a bezoyon for the Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, what do you mean, what should you do? You know exactly what you need to do. I already told you. Don't you remember how the learning of Torah of few protected the Jewish people for seven generations? Don't you know the power of Limud HaTorah? Don't you know B'makom Torah Ein Chorban? You know what to do. The Torah is Ki Hem Chayenu. It's Oirech Yamin B'mina U'smayla Oysher B'chavoid. The Ramchal writes, Esek HaTorah Hu Roish L'chol HaTikunim. Learning Torah is the chief rectification. It's, listen to these words of the Ramchal. First paragraph 21. Limud Torasenu huleyetzar hara v'lesitra achra sam hamoves. Learning Torah is for the forces of darkness, an elixir of poison. Ula achinu beis Yisrael husam hachayim. You know what the biggest curse of all is? In the end of days, there'll be like this helicopter. The guy's drowning and the helicopter comes and he throws down the ladder rope. And the guy's going to be saying, what should I do? I have no one to rely on. Who's going to help me? And there's this chopper, you know, spinning right above him. And all he needs to do is grab onto the ladder. And he's screaming, he's stuck. Help, help. What do you mean help? I'm here to get you. The Rebbe Shalom said, I gave you the remedy. The biggest curse of all is that in 2021, when Klal Yisrael is challenged, we say, Ein lanu mi lehishoein ela al avinu shebashamayim. Yevon Shem says, you know for 2,000 years what you need to do. Now all of a sudden you don't know what to do and you're relying on me? That's a bezoyen ha-Torah. So in this makom, where Baruch Hashem, you had the zchus to take advantage of the samachayim, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless all of you for your Torah. Not only has it brought bracha to you and to your families, you've brought bracha to all of Klal Yisrael. You've brought bracha to the future of Klal Yisrael. You've brought the Beis HaMikdash ever closer. And may we all together be zoicha to see B'karoiv Mamish, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, M'her V'yaminu, Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.